بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. Today we read our qaid and beliefs regarding the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم. Belief number one, whichever Muslim has seen Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم and passed away as a Muslim is referred to as a Sahabi. The companionship of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم is a great honor. In this ummah, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum enjoy the highest rank, even if they only saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a moment. The greatest of all the pious people who came after them can never be equal to the lowest amongst them. Belief number two. Many virtues in the Quran Majeed and Ahadith have been narrated regarding the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. All the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were trustworthy, perfect believers, and will go to Jannah. Just as Allah Ta'ala had chosen the Anbiya alayhimu salam, Allah Ta'ala had also chosen the most choicest of this ummah to be in the companionship of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Belief number three, the most virtuous amongst them are Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He succeeded Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and was chosen as the first Khalifa unanimously by all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He is referred to as the first Khalifa. He is the most superior person in this ummah. Number two, then is Umar radiallahu anhu, who was the second Khalifa. Number three, he was followed by Uthman radiallahu anhu, who was the third Khalifa. And number four, he was succeeded by Ali radiallahu anhu, who was the fourth Khalifa. They are followed by the remaining six of those 10 Sahaba radiallahu anhum who were promised Jannah in one hadith. They are Talha, Zubair, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Sa'id ibn Zayd and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhum. They are followed by the participants in Badr, then the participants of Uhud, the participants in Hudaybiyah, and those who accepted Islam before the conquest of Mecca, and then those who accepted Islam after the conquest of Mecca. Belief number four. After the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came the era of the Khulafa'i Rashideen, that is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu anhu, and Ali radiallahu anhu, which lasted for 30 years. To accept the decisions of these khulafa and practice on their sunnah is like practicing on the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and accepting his decision. For example, the performance of 20 rakats of taraweeh and 3 talaqs falling when uttered, etc. Belief number 5. One should possess love and entertain good thoughts regarding every one of them. To think or talk evil of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum is open transgression of the law of the Quran Majeed. There is fear of kufr regarding such a person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever speaks ill of my Sahaba radiallahu anhum, upon them is the curse of Allah Ta'ala, the angels and all the people. If we come to know of any disputes that took place between them, then we should attribute it to some misunderstanding. We should not speak ill of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Their differences were based on their piety, love for the truth, fear for Allah Ta'ala, and differences in ijtihad, that is deduction. Those who erred will receive one reward, while those who are correct will receive two rewards. No person has the right to criticize these errors. For example, to rebuke Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is prohibited as he was a Sahabi, a scribe of the Qur'an Majeed, as well as a close family member of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is, he was the brother-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Belief number 6. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had 11 wives. These wives are the noble mothers of the believers. They are more virtuous than all the believing women. Khadija and Aisha radiallahu anhuma are the most elevated from amongst the noble wives. Any person who accuses any of the noble wives, especially Aisha radiallahu anha, of adultery will lose his iman, as her innocence and purity has been testified to in the Quran Majeed. And the seventh belief, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had four daughters. All the children of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam are worthy of honor and respect. Amongst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's offspring, Fatima radiallahu anha holds the loftiest status. However, to aver that only Fatima radiallahu anha is the daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is incorrect and contrary to the Quran Majeed. Last night in the Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, the 12th para was recited, which comprises of Surah Hud and a portion, about half of Surah Yusuf. Surah Hud, the first five verses of Surah Hud appear at the end of the 11th para, and the rest is then in the 12th para. Surah Hud is a Makki surah, and as mentioned over and over again, the main subject matter of those surahs which were revealed before the Hijrah, they comprise and mention mostly the fundamentals of deen. Surah Hud also mentions the fundamentals of deen, and in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala particularly makes mention of the greatness of the Quran Majeed with all its attributes. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the aqaid of Risalat also. And the main subject matter in this surah comprises of the incidents of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam of the past. And in this, there is now actually lessons for this ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that they should stay away from all those things which invited the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend on the nations of these Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam when they refused to accept the message of Haqq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the surah mentioning the greatness of the Quran Majeed with its great qualities. Allah ta'ala says, after Alif Lam Ra, which are hurufi muqatta'at, the meaning of which is known only to Allah ta'ala, that kitabun uhkimat ayatuhu, that this kitab is such a kitab that its verses are consolidated, they are firm and they are strong when it comes to every aspect. They are free and pure from any type of weakness, any type of deficiency, any type of contradiction, inconsistency, or any other type of weakness. The Quran Majeed is pure from this in every regard. Some ulama also explained that in these words, uhkimat ayatuhu also refers to the fact that each of the ayat of the Quran Majeed, all of them are excellently structured in such a way that there is no parallel to it whatsoever. And why not? That this is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is comprehensive in its meanings also, that every aspect of our lives which we need guidance in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us this guidance in this book. Whether it pertains to belief, our acts of worship, our dealings, our mutual conduct, or whether it is connected to our akhlaq and morals, everything we have been given guidelines concerning that. And then Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ فُصِّلَتْ. Then these verses have been explained, have been elaborated by that being who is the most wise and all-knowing. Every injunction of the Quran Majeed is based on wisdom, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hakim, most wise. And Allah is Khabir also. Allah is informed and well aware of every aspect of His creation, all their needs and all their needs, whether of the past, of the present, or of the future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything concerning His creation, and on that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us guidelines and orders to be followed in the Quran Majeed. Allah ta'budu illallah, that you don't worship none other but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the main subject matter in the fundamental belief of our deen, that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of worship. Allah ta'ala further on then mentions many of His attributes, that Allah Ta'ala is all-knowing. Allah knows what you conceal and what you make manifest. Allah Ta'ala is well aware of whatever is concealed in your hearts. Further on in the beginning of the For 12th para, Allah Ta'ala makes mention that only Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is the sustainer of every creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in this universe. Allah Ta'ala says there is no creature on the surface of the earth, but the responsibility of his sustenance is upon Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. No creation, no matter it is jinn or insan or jinn or any other creation, but the responsibility of his sustenance is upon Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. No person will die without getting his apportioned share of sustenance which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had allocated for him. Here a question might come that we hear that particularly at the times of drought and famine, that many people, animals, etc., they die of starvation. So how is it that we hear those things? And here Allah Ta'ala says Allah has taken the responsibility of sustenance of all of his creations. The answer had just been given, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has taken that responsibility till a specific time, and no person will die till he gets his share of his sustenance. And therefore, there is no contradiction with this verse which we have just mentioned here. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of his great creations, and the purpose of mentioning all these great creations of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, because they are manifestation of the greatness and the tawheed and the oneness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Those who ponder over these great creations, they will get that recognition that only Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is the Khaliq, the Creator, and he is the one who will be worshipped only. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala mentions an inherent weakness which is to be found in mankind. وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً, that when we make insan taste from our mercy, and we give him our bounties, ثُمَّ نَزَعْنَاهَا مِنْهُ, then we snatch it away from him. When Allah Ta'ala takes away a ni'mat, the condition of man is إِنَّهُ لَيَأُوسٌ كَفُورٌ, he becomes despondent and he becomes ungrateful. Further on, Allah Ta'ala mentions that when we make him again taste our bounties, after the affliction which he had suffered, which he was faced with, لَيَقُولَنَّ ذَهَبَ السَّيِّئَاتُ عَنِّي, then he will definitely say that all bad conditions have gone away from me, and then he becomes proud and he becomes boastful. So in other words, then he is not grateful, and he attributes all these things to himself and to his abilities and his efforts, and he doesn't regard it to be all from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Whether conditions of good come to him or they're taken away from him, he doesn't realize it is from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Further on, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala again makes mention of what had been mentioned in the previous surah also, that those who deny the truthfulness of the Quran and Majeed to be the word of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, they are challenged to produce the like of the Quran and Majeed. But and Allah Ta'ala says, they bring all your helpers besides Allah Ta'ala to do this, you will never be successful in this. Previously, it was mentioned in the previous surah, produce one surah. In this surah, it is mentioned that produce 10 surahs to the like of the Quran and Majeed. And in Surah Baqarah, a third time the challenge had been mentioned, that even produce one verse. And that too, you will not be able to do so, to produce the like of the Quran and Majeed, which definitely is the indication that it is only from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Here Allah Ta'ala mentions clearly, فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكُمْ, if they are not able to respond to you, to this challenge which has been given to them, those who deny the Quran and Majeed to be the word of Allah Ta'ala, then فَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ بِعِلْمِ اللَّهِ, then let them know well that this Quran Majeed has been revealed with the knowledge of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala has revealed it, and it is not the word of any man. Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of his supreme form of justice and equity, that Allah Ta'ala says those who desire the worldly life and its splendor, Allah Ta'ala says, نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ, we will give in full to them the recompense of their actions, fiha, in this very world. So even those who are the non-believers, who might do any form of good in this world, Allah Ta'ala, because of his supreme form of justice and equity, Allah Ta'ala will not allow that good of theirs also just to go by, Allah will give them recompense, but only in this world. For them is mentioned in the next verse, لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ. For them in the hereafter is nothing but the fire of Jahannam. So the recompense for the non-believers, for the good they might be doing in this world, will be in this very world, in the form of health, in the form of wealth, in the form of popularity, recognition, status, comfort, and whatever else. But there is no share for them whatsoever in the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala thereafter mentions also, وَحَبِثَ مَا صَنَعُوا فِيهَا وَبَاطِلٌ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That whatever they had did in this world, whatever good they had did, will go to waste, and they will, and it will be in vain, whatever they had did. Further on, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then mentions that who can be the more greater oppressor and wrongdoer than the one who forges a lie against Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Those who attribute partners to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, or those who attribute divinity to besides Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, for example, those who say that Isa Alayhi Salam is the son of Allah Ta'ala, na'udhu billah, etc. Allah Ta'ala says, there can be no greater wrongdoer and oppressor than such a person. These are the people, Allah Ta'ala says, they will be presented in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and the witnesses will testify against them, those who had forged the lie against Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, in the form of the recording angels. Their own limbs of the body will testify against them, and also the very earth on which they used to reside will testify against them. Allah Ta'ala says that, behold, the curse of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala are on the wrongdoers, those who used to stop from the path of Allah Ta'ala. Themselves they did not follow the path of Allah Ta'ala, and they stopped others also. وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا. And they used to seek crookedness in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, look for fault and deficiency. And they were deniers of the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala says they will not be able to escape the punishment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala when it comes. And for them there is no helper besides Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala whatsoever. يُضَعَفُ لَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ. For them there will be a double punishment. Why? Because they themselves did not heed to the truth, and they also stopped others. Allah Ta'ala says, most definitely in the hereafter, they will be the greatest losers. From the third ruku onwards, right till the end of the surah, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then makes mention of the incidents of the many of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, commencing with the incident of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, who came approximately about 1,000 years after Adam alayhi salam. And his lifespan also, Allah Ta'ala had granted him an extraordinary, very great lifespan of over 1,000 years. And he preached from generation to generation. Doesn't mean these people also had such lengthy lives. No, Allah Ta'ala granted him a very long life. But his people were they, he preached to them generation after generation. But it was the hukam of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that not many people accepted Iman on his hands. And eventually the whole incident that Allah, when Allah Ta'ala informed Nuh alayhi salam that those who have brought Iman have brought Iman, and no new people will now be bringing Iman. In Surah Nuh, then it is mentioned that at that time, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam then made bad dua that, oh Allah Ta'ala, now these people now, since I have been informed that they no one will now bring Iman, therefore now destroy them. And Allah Ta'ala for that ordered Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam to construct the ark, the ship. It was nowhere near any sign of water. People mocked at him that what he is doing, where is he going to sail this ark of his. But eventually the flood waters came, and all those who refused to accept the message of Haq were drowned, and in Nuh alayhi salam and the believers, they were ordered to board that ark, and they were then saved from the punishment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Thereafter the incident of Hud alayhi salam and his nation, then Salih alayhi salam and his nation, and then Ibrahim alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, and then Musa alayhi salatu salam, Shu'ib alayhi salam. All these incidents have been mentioned here. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in between mentions that these incidents which we narrate to you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min amba'il ghayb. They are the narratives from the unseen. In other words, you did not witness these incidents, but the perfect details with which you narrate to them is actually because of the wahi and revelation which we have sent to you. مَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهَا أَنْتَ وَلَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you also nor your nation were aware of all these incidents prior to it being mentioned to them. Therefore, these people who are refusing to accept you to be the Nabi and refusing to accept the Quran Majeed to be divine revelation, on that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, exercise patience, because the good result will only be for the muttaqeen. After mentioning all these incidents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then also mentions that this punishments which these nations were afflicted with because of their wrongdoings. وَكَذَٰلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَىٰ. Such is the grasp of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the seizure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when these people, these nations, they are zalima, oppressive in the sense they are refusing to accept the message of haq, and the seizure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very painful and very severe. Then the next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions Surah Yusuf. The circumstances of the revelation of the surah, according to some narrations, is that the Jews, to test whether Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a true Nabi or not, they asked him various questions. One of them was, how did the family of Yaqub alayhi salam, whose homeland was Sham, how did they come eventually to Egypt? What was the circumstances of them coming here? For that, this entire surah was revealed. This surah, a very unique thing about the surah is that the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam mentioned according to sequence of occurrence also, and the complete surah all at the complete incident all at one place is only the speciality of the incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. All the incidents of the other Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, bits and portions according to the need and according to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had been mentioned throughout the Quran Majeed at different intervals. But the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam is nowhere else mentioned but in the surah, and that also in its entirety. Allah ta'ala calls the incident, mentions that this incident of Yusuf alayhi salam is ahsan al-qasasi, is the best of stories, best of incidents. And the reason for this is there are many lessons and advices which we can take out from this unique incident which transpired concerning Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah ta'ala mentions the whole incident here, part of it, is mentioned in the 13th para. But what has been mentioned here in the 12th para, which was recited last night, is that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, being he was one of the sons of Yaqub alayhi salam, all in all they were 12, and besides him there were 11 brothers. Yusuf alayhi salam sees a dream that the 11 stars and the sun and the moon are all prostrating to him. He mentions this dream to his father, and father Yaqub alayhi salam, being a Nabi, understands the interpretation that this son of mine will be blessed with Nabuwat. But he tells Yusuf alayhi salam, don't mention this dream to your brothers, because they will be overcome with jealousy and they might harm you. Yusuf alayhi salam was very beloved to his father, particularly because he had very excellent character, and also was extremely handsome, and also him and his brother were the youngest of all the brothers. Their mother also had passed away, and for that reason the father had great affection for him. Anyway, the brothers, overcome with jealousy that why is the father's attention so much to Yusuf alayhi salam compared to us, they plot to kill him. Eventually, after much deliberation, they decide to throw him into a well. A group of travelers passing by, look searching for water. They eventually then take out Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam from that well and take him as a slave and sell him in the marketplaces of Egypt. He is purchased by the chief minister of Egypt, and he is then reared in his house. His wife becomes overcome, infatuated with the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and tries to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam, and Allah Ta'ala then protects Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and that incident is mentioned in quite detail here. And thereafter Yusuf alayhi salam is cast into prison, the chief minister to protect his honor and to save him from disgrace and humiliation, they put Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam into the prison. But in the prison also Yusuf alayhi salam, because of his upright and righteous nature, he wins the confidence of the people of the prison, and he propagates the message of Haqq, of Tawheed to them also. And one of them who sees a dream, he interprets their dream, and accordingly one of them is freed to become the cupbearer of the king. The other is executed according to how Yusuf alayhi salam interpreted the dream. And later on the king himself sees a dream, and he wants an interpretation, and that cupbearer then remembers Yusuf alayhi salam, who had interpreted his dream while he was in prison. And on that the king, after Yusuf alayhi salam gives the interpretation of the dream, the king releases Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But Yusuf alayhi salam did not come out of jail till he is not absolved of the of the accusations which were leveled against him. Then only after he was absolved of this, then only he was taken out of prison. Till here is the incident mentioned till the end of the 12th para. But as mentioned, this is the incident, but there are many, many lessons, advices in this incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. The ulama have mentioned in great extensive detail all those lessons and advices which we can understand and take out from the incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله تبارك إن لله تبارك وتعالى ملائكة سيارة فضلا زائدين على الحفظة يبتغون مجالس الذكر فإذا وجدوا مجلسا فيه ذكر قعدوا معهم وحف بعضهم بعضا بأجنحتهم حتى يملأوا ما بينهم وبين السماء الدنيا فإذا تفرقوا وصعدوا إلى السماء الحديث وفي آخره فيقول الله قد غفرت لهم فأعطيتهم ما سألوا وأجرتهم مما استجاروا قال فيقولون ربي فيهم فلان عبد خطاء إنما مر فجلس معهم قال فيقول وله غفرت هم القوم لا يشقى بهم جليسهم رواه مسلم. حضرت ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ عنہ سے مروی ہے کہ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ اللہ جل جلالہ کے کتنے ہی فرشتے محافظ فرشتوں کے علاوہ راستوں پر پھرتے ہیں اور ذکر کرنے والوں کے مجالس ڈھونڈتے ہیں جب وہ ان لوگوں کو پا لیتے ہیں جو ذکر الہی میں مشغول رہتے ہیں تو وہ ان کے ساتھ بیٹھتے ہیں اور وہ فرشتے ان لوگوں کو اپنے پروں سے آسمان دنیا تک گھیر لیتے ہیں جب وہ متفرق ہو جائے تو فرشتوں آسمان کی طرف چڑھتے ہیں بس اللہ جل جلالہ فرماتے ہیں کہ میں نے ان کو بخش دیا اور ان کی مطلوبہ چیز ان کو عطا کر دی اور ان کو پناہ دے دی جس سے وہ پناہ مانگ رہے ہیں پھر فرشتے کہتے ہیں اے رب ان ذکر کرنے والوں میں فلاں شخص بھی ہے جو اپنے کسی کام سے آیا تھا پھر وہ وہی ذکر کرنے والوں کے پاس بیٹھ گیا اس لیے وہ تو اس مغفرت کی بشارت کا مستحق نہیں بس اللہ جل جلالہ فرماتے ہیں اہل ذکر ایسے بیٹھنے والے ہیں کہ ان کے ساتھ بیٹھنے والا محروم نہیں ہوتا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, there are a group of angels who roam the earth searching for people engaged in the dhikr of Allah jalla jalaluhu. When they find such people, they sit with them and shrouding them with their wings. Due to their great number, they encompass the space between the gathering and the sky. When the gathering terminates, the angels proceed to the heavens. Thereafter, a lengthy discussion takes place between Allah jalla jalaluhu and the angels regarding those making dhikr. Allah جل جلاله finally announces, O my angels, bear witness that I forgive them all. I will bestow upon them whatever they desire, and I shall protect them from that which they seek protection from. The angels make mention regarding a man who had not come with the intention of making dhikr, but for some other purpose. Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu replies, these people, that is the Zakirin, are such, so blessed, that those who merely sit with them will also not be deprived. Rather, they will also get forgiven. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, there are a group of angels who roam the earth searching for people engaged in the dhikr of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. When they find such people, they sit with them, enshrouding them with their wings. Due to their great number, they encompass the space between the gathering and the sky. When the gathering terminates, the angels proceed to the heavens. Thereafter, a lengthy discussion takes place between Allah Jalla Jalaluhu and the angels regarding those making dhikr. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu finally announces, O my angels, bear witness that I forgive them all. I will bestow upon them whatever they desire, and I shall protect them from that which they seek protection from. The angels make mention regarding a man who had not come with the intention of making dhikr, but for some other purpose. Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu replies, these people, that is the Zakirin, are such, so blessed, that those who merely sit with them will also not be deprived, rather they will also get forgiven.